Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
This podcast may contain some strong language and adult themes. Oh, hello. I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
And this is Dish from Waitrose. Welcome. Congratulations, first of all, Ange.
I know.
Wedding bells.
I was so proud. So proud. It made my week.
A huge moment. So on you, I thought you'd been hacked or something, that when I went on Angela Hartnett's Instagram, there was something that I just thought you'd have the biggest eye roll at and be like, oh, that is a load of nonsense. I went on Angela's Instagram and I saw a dog wedding.
It was fabulous.
A dog wedding. So the happy couple were what? Whippets?
Whippets,
two,
yes.
Two whippets, yeah. In full like bride and groom outfits, mm, with a priest, human priest, yep, and then other dogs acting as bridesmaids, one of which was Angela's dog, Betty, in a bridesmaid dress. I can't believe you okayed that, because that is so not you. The bride's dress was actually fantastic.
The bride's dress was made by a proper designer. So Dean and Warren, who run Rocco Doggies, I've got to say, it is one of the best doggy daycares in London.
You'll have seen them because Ange
posts
them
post
every day.
I only post about these guys. Forget Dish or the restaurants. This is far more important in my life. And they're brilliant. And they text the other day, because we have the WhatsApp group, and they said, oh, by the way, can we swap Betty's days? We're having a wedding and we want her to be bridesmaids. And I just went, yes, of course you can. And it's just brilliant. And no, they've got a friend who literally does design dresses for like celebrities, superstars. And when
like
they
who?
Called them, like people like Madonna, people like Beyonce. Sure. I'm not kidding you.
The dog's
and
dress.
Then, I'm not naming anyone. And then, of course, Warren was just texting me, going, I'm looking for dresses online. We're doing this. And it was just brilliant.
Oh, my God.
No, it's so good.
Did you attend the wedding?
No, you're not allowed to.
Just dogs.
Just dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just dogs. Yeah. No, it's just for
very
dogs.
Good.
Yeah. No.
And then there was a brilliant one of their clips. They said, oh, the bridal party off to the bar. So they all went running off. It's just made my night the other night just looking at it.
The bride looks absolutely
stunning.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you.
I feel
you
very
and
proud.
Tibetti.
I know. My family have totally ignored me. They're just like, this is just too embarrassing for us.
Hey, before we got our guest in today, let's hear from Jack. He says, hi, Nick. Hi, Angela. I'm new to the show and absolutely love it. I am a gardener, so I get through a lot of audiobooks and podcasts. I started Dish on Monday and now I'm up to date. Don't know what day he wrote this.
Yeah.
But let's pretend Tuesday.
Yeah.
The food is amazing and makes me so hungry, and you're both really easy to listen to. Please, can you reach out to Richard E. Grant as a potential guest? Yes.
Yep.
I'd love that. Have you ever watched Richard E. Grant's program that he does, where he just goes to hotels and has
oh,
a nice
no,
time?
Oh, no, I haven't.
How does everyone have these TV shows? What's
well,
the pitch?
That's the one
I'm
you
just going
want.
To a Venice. To do what? Oh, look at a nice hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, commissioned.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean? And then he's like,
the
next week, the Bahamas. Yeah, like, I want that show. And there's the hotel one that Rob Rinder and Monica do.
Oh, yeah, Monica used to do it with Charles, didn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, this
that
week.
That is a good one, actually.
This week, yeah. This hotel's nice in St. Lucia.
Yeah.
We need that show.
Well, come on, get on it.
Come on. Anyway, could you get Richard E. Grant as a guest? He's a big foodie, he's hilarious and so interesting. Oh, and Joanna Lumley, Judy Dench, Jennifer Saunders and Keely Hawes. Thanks, says Jack. Do you have any of those that you could reach out to, Richard E. Grant?
I've met him, but I don't have. I know someone who knows all of those people.
Oh, really?
Her I know quite well.
Jennifer Saunders?
Judy I've met a few times.
Yeah.
She's very lovely. She comes to the restaurant a fair bit.
Yeah. Let's get them on.
Yeah.
I guess you can't ask her when she's in the restaurant.
It feels a bit rude
yeah.
to sort of go, by the way, hi, what are you doing next week?
Here's your risotto.
Yeah, I sort of feel,
do you want a free
you know,
goodie bag from Waitrose?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jack, for those suggestions of really famous people.
Mm.
We would love them all to be on. Thank you. Siobhan McSweeney joins us for lunch today. You will know Siobhan McSweeney. She was one of the greatest comedy characters on telly of recent years. Sister Michael from Derry Girls.
Yeah.
Semi-iconic role, I feel.
Just brilliant.
Yeah, just brilliant. And also on the Great Pottery Throwdown.
Yeah.
I like to save it for a Sunday night, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Antiques Roadshow.
It looks lovely. It looks very relaxed. It's like the repair shop in a different way, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know why it happens, but you always get emotional when someone's made, like, a vase. And it's like you always get emo. It's like, you know, you watch Bake Off and someone said, like, a Victoria sponge.
Yeah.
But they, like, relate to their mum and you're like, it's like that. It's like good, wholesome, proper telly. Today, we welcome an actor who inhabited one of the greatest comedy characters on television. We bow in reverence to you, Siobhan McSweeney, everybody. Yay! Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
And welcome to Dish. You. Cheers. It's the table's like a little bit.
There we go.
Cheers. We're starting today's dish with a drink and snack in honor of your good self, because we heard that champagne and salt and vinegar hula hoops was you had when you won a BAFTA a year ago.
Yeah.
You can clap a BAFTA. A BAFTA gets a clap a year on.
Yes, of
and
course.
Every year on.
Yeah, do you take it back after the year is over? Is it
yeah,
sort
you know
of like the gerbil at school, you know, then you have to bring it back. Yeah, champagne and salt and vinegar, hula hoops. Mm.
It's a great mix, actually. Yeah. Where was that? At the BAFTAs, they were like, here, have a glass of champagne and a hula hoop.
No, I went home early from the BAFTAs. People were still partying. Mm. I just felt overwhelmed and deeply, deeply tired. I sort of wanted to go home and have a cry.
Mm. Oh, really?
Not because I was sad, but just the sort of build-up of stuff.
But the emotion of it all.
The emotional aspect of it all. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Because I so wasn't expecting it. And I really wanted it, but not in a sort of weird way, but as in like, wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't that be great?
I'd love that so much. And then I went home, opened a bottle of champagne by myself and had, I have a multi-pack of hula hoops and I took out just the salt and vinegar ones and I ate those. You only get two.
Yeah,
so I wasn't a complete animal.
No, two's good. I love opening a bottle of champagne for one. But you got a BAFTA, innit?
Yeah. And that's when I am an animal,
yeah. Yeah, a bottle of champagne. Do you get the BAFTA that day? Does it come home? Like you travel home with the mask?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
But it doesn't have the little...
name thing.
Okay. The name thing. Yeah. And the name thing, because Lisa got hers and I was like, how come you have yours? She said, of all the humans, I knew that you would be the one that would end up not getting. That it would be stuck in Royal Mail somewhere or that it's gone to the wrong address or something, you know. And I'm like, okay, but it finally arrived. But like, you're going, oh my God, like the brass plaque and it has your name in it and everything. And then it has double-sided sticky tape at the back for you to attach it to. You're like, oh.
Okay.
Is that all it is? Double-sided tape. Oh.
Really strong, because I did try to take it off because I put it on wonky by accident. So it does the job, you can. So it's a bit
it's
like...
It's really stuck.
It's really double-sided tape.
And then you have a wonky BAFTA.
Yeah, of course. I have a wonky BAFTA.
Yeah. Well, the champagne and salt and vinegar hula hoops. I think it actually tastes sensation.
Salt and vinegar hula hoops and anything really goes in.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
What I like about the hula hoops is the somewhat penitent quality of, did I say that right? Mm. You know the crunch, when you crunch it, it's like, oh, my head.
Mm. Like really cold ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. That sort of thing. But it's they're usually my hangover cure, the really strong salt and vinegar, but you also, you need to atone for your sins.
It's a real crisp to cut through, it really is. Now, do they tell you when you won the BAFTA, by the way, we should say, for Sister Michael in Derry Girls, do they say, you might win this, so wear a nice dress. Do you have any clue?
No.
No clue?
No.
And did you prepare for like the best and the worst?
I had brilliant advice from a friend who said, write a speech. Mm-hmm. And I went, I don't want to jinx it. Yeah. And she said, bullshit. Write a speech. Mm-hmm. Because when I got nominated, I turned to her and I said, I am going to wring every bit of joy and loveliness out of this situation. I'm going to do everything. I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to do whatever I want to have. It'll never happen again. So why not treat it like a real treat? And she said, you said you were going to wring every experience out of it. Then you need to write a speech, because we all write a speech when we're kids in front of the mirror with our hairbrush. She said, make sure you read out the speech before you go to the ceremony, so that no matter what happens, you have said it. And you thanked people that you wanted to thank. Yeah. And it was such good advice. Wow. Apart from the fact that when I read it in front of my two friends, and I ended it with like, And I looked at them, sort of expecting them to be filled with amazing tears or whatever. And they were like, oh, right. And I went, what? They said, we need to edit the f*** out of that. And you have basically written a list of grudges. Like, it basically was, and now on to the B for bastards. Like, thank God they did
it. Thank God. Yeah, thank God. You need the edit.
Yeah. You need the edit.
And then how is it when you're up there? Like, did you make eye contact when you're looking at it? Because it's a mad, very, very unique experience to be in. Like, standing in a room of people off the telly and, like, seeing them all, which is weird in itself, but then being, you know, given an award for your skills.
Having beaten a few of them and in the audience.
Yeah.
And what a category. I saw afterwards when I did watch it, I did watch that on telly. I did go back and watch it again and again and again.
You're watching it when we met out there, actually. Yeah. Just again.
Don't tell anyone. But to see Daisy May Cooper stand up and applaud me, I was like, that has blown my mind. That has blown my mind because I think she's the bee's knees.
Yeah, she
was. Seeing it, all you can see, they have a clock in front of you that counts down. So that's why I was speaking so quickly and so frantically. I also was shaking a lot, and I'm not a shaker. I get nervous. I've sort of always been nervous, so I hide it really well, you know? So I hope I hide it really well. Well, I do. I got a BAFTA for it.
And you always wanted to act from a young age, didn't you? Like it was always a life ambition. And were your family supportive? Were they encouraging?
No, God, no. No. No.
Okay. Good to hear that, because everyone goes, oh, yes. Everyone loves it. Mine were like, when I said I wanted to do the radio, were like, get a real job. So they were quite anti-acting.
Like, literally, one of the last things my mother said was, would you not retrain as a teacher?
Right.
Please stop this. Like, she died. And me going, no, I really think that I have something to say to the world. She was like, oh, for God's sake, what a waste of an education. I broke their hearts. I think if they had supported me from day one wanting to be an actor, I don't think I'd be an actor right now. Because there's nothing to fight for then. Mm-hmm. And not in a sort of contrarian kind of way, but to understand that what you're choosing won't be a given, and that it's a very stupid thing to choose, and to be sort of weigh up the consequences of what you're losing out on if you do choose this strange life. You know, you do lose out on an awful lot of stuff. You gain loads.
Yeah.
But you do lose.
But your dad was still around for your success.
Yeah, and he was utterly unimpressed by it.
Right.
The only thing he would sort of say about it was like, and you get paid for that. I'm like, evidently. I think so. Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. I mean, not always. Not for a long, long time. Yeah. So his was like, because of course their objection to the career was the lack of financial security.
Yeah. It's a caring dismissal.
Yeah.
And also, let's call a spade here. They were looking at their daughter I couldn't cycle a bike till I was like 9 without stabilizers. I'm still unsure about laces. You know, like, there are a few things that, and they're like, and she wants to be an actress, right?
Yeah. But what was it that made you? Is it something you watched? Did you get to see a film that transformed you?
No, I very, very badly in the past compared it to, and let me explain what I meant by it. Respectfully, I did preface it with like respectfully, and I'm incorrect, but I did compare it to a form of coming out.
Right.
In that I always knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And there would be little things, and you could sort of spy it in other people as well. And you're like, oh, like I see it now with my friends' kids, and there'll be something, and I'm like, oh, they got it. Does the mother know? Maybe I'm going to have to take the mother out and tell her.
Yeah. Break the news.
Break the news. Yeah. Don't expect a care home. Your child's an actor.
Let's talk about your new show, where your new boss essentially like Mickey Mouse, because it's a brand new show on Disney.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that Mickey approached you for the role? No, I'm joking. And the show's called Extraordinary.
Extraordinary, yeah. God, it's such a lovely show. When we got the call, myself and my agent, we laughed for 20 minutes because, of course, well, I'm stupid. I don't know what his excuse is. He should know. He's literally my agent. I was like, well, that's
that's only kids' shows, isn't it? Yeah, am I like going to be a puppet or something amazing? And then I read the scripts and I was like, these are really good and totally not for kids.
And the premise of the show is when people hit 18, they develop a superpower.
That's
essentially.
Right. Yeah, so it's set in a parallel London.
Yes.
And that when you're 18, you get a superpower. My daughter, her superpower hasn't kicked in. Mm-hmm. So it's that wonderful framework where you get to explore the idea of being in your early 20s and feeling like a loser because mm-hmm. all your friends have it sorted mm-hmm. and you're the loser who can't do anything. And it's just brilliant. I mean, it's sort of like a universal theme
yes.
and done with these very specific boundaries. And it's great. Like London looks fabulous in it.
Yeah.
East London looks great in it, yeah. you know?
I want to talk to you about some of the superpowers.
Yes.
Because some of the superpowers in the show are really nuts. And I'd love to have been there for the ideas meeting.
Yeah,
so we have a bum that 3D prints stuff.
Yeah.
Which I think would be handy.
Yeah, very handy.
Like,
very
really?
Handy and comes in very useful in series two, actually. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
My secret power would be that if I said, oh, tomorrow I'm going to New York, I just go to bed and I wake up in New York.
Oh, that's
so I don't have to travel anywhere.
Oh.
I just arrive there.
Good one, sugar. What's yours?
I think I'd quite like to not be tired ever. Oh. So you don't need to sleep. Do you know what I mean? Because so many things
yeah,
are
that's
like,
a good
oh,
one.
I'm tired or...
Have you heard of napping?
Oh, yeah, come on.
Do you know how long my naps are
How
now?
Long do you go for?
2 hours on the dot.
Stop.
Honestly.
Do you ever wake up weird from a nap? Because
weird.
Sometimes I wake up spooked, like, and like you don't know where you are or what's going on in the world.
No.
No. Oh, wow. You guilt-free nap.
No, I wake up like physically awful.
Yes.
Like.
Any guilt?
Yes.
Mish, my boyfriend, shames me for napping. He like wakes me up and goes, wake up.
Oh.
And I'm napping.
Dump the f-.
And he's like, you're not doing. I might, you know.
Yeah.
It's mean.
That's abuse.
Yeah.
These are hot. Be careful. Like,
oh, I thought you said he is hot.
I thought
you
said he's hot. I was like,
he's
well.
Hot. Be careful. He can't do better.
No.
He can't do better. that's exactly what I think Angela would say as well. Like, no, he's punching.
Hot.
He's
be
punching.
Careful.
You won't get any.
Do whatever he asks.
Okay, food's arrived.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was it.
Oh, my
wow.
God. This is our Easter special. So
oh,
you don't
yes.
like celery, do you?
No.
So I've got just carrots and onions there
oh,
for you, my
gosh.
Love. And a bit of garlic.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Are you into a bit of garlic?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God, that looks
And then
ridiculous.
Some lovely lamb.
Look at the lamb. This lamb looks
shoulder.
Amazing.
Oh, it's got a big shoulder, that lamb. No. Arnold Schwarzenegger lamb's that.
Right, Neil. Neil, sorry.
Neil, that's it. Come on. Neil's
Freudian
Angela's husband.
Oh, I see.
She
okay.
calls me Neil.
And then potatoes.
Do you know what I'm loving about this, apart from everything, is that you're not asking me to serve myself because nobody needs to see that on a podcast. What are these?
What's that noise?
Potatoes. Dauphinoise potatoes.
Dauphinoise. My Dauphinoise are always dry and miserable looking.
And then a little bit of greens. Your mum would like you to have your greens.
She would.
Oh, yeah, get in the greens. I like the greens.
Do you like some red wine, Siobhan?
Yes, please. Thank you. Oh, my God, this is hell.
Mm.
These carrots.
Angela.
Not bad for somebody who does a bit of cooking.
Bit of cooking. So we got for lunch today for our Easter special, slow roast lamb shoulder with beer and carrots. This is a recipe by Julius Roberts.
Mm.
I thought initially that was Julia Roberts. I was like, wow.
I'd say she's got a few good recipes.
Julia Roberts, 100%.
Definitely.
What sort of area of food do you think Julia Roberts is cooking?
I wouldn't be surprised if she did lamb shoulder.
Mm.
She'd do a good Thanksgiving meal.
Mm. Yes.
And a good Christmas, I'd
mm-hmm.
say.
A good spread.
Yeah. And she's really good with like one vegetable.
Yeah.
Mm. I think she'd help with the wash up.
Yeah,
she would.
She would.
I think she was probably reared well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You know who also very famous? Stanley Tucci cooked in my kitchen at home and he
did
washed
you?
Up.
Did he?
Oh,
he
did he?
Did, yeah.
Really?
We came, did filming in the house, then he came, he goes, I'm washing up, and he didn't wash, did all the dishes.
Mm. Do you want to hear a secret?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
I'm sort of sick of him.
Stanley, she loves you.
Like, you know the way that like, oh, he's so handsome in his arms and oh, he doesn't need to cook. I just want to listen to his... Leave the man alone.
You're sick of the fans.
I am sick of the fans.
He's treated like a piece of meat.
If he's anything like the shoulder of lamb, then...
He is very tender. Angela, tell us about this shoulder of lamb because this is perfectly cooked.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
Slow
it
looks and long. Fantastic.
Slow and long.
So first of all, Julius does this method, which I've never done before, but it works. Mm. He grills the lamb first to colour over. Yeah, so really hot grill. Oh. Turn it over, get a really lovely colour on both sides of your shoulder. Then he has carrot, celery, onion, garlic, bay leaf, fennel seeds, all in the tray. Put your lamb on top and add beer to it, like lager.
Wow.
And then cover it really tightly with foil and parchment paper and then in the oven for about 4.5 to 5 hours.
And how come it doesn't go dry? Because it's in like a little steam package.
Exactly.
With the beer.
You're learning, aren't you? Look at you, Nick.
Because I've tried to do like a lamb tagine thing. Yeah. But I didn't have a tagine pot.
Yeah.
And dry as anything when I got it out after 4 hours.
But did you cover it properly with foil and stuff?
No, I didn't, Angela.
Okay, there you
no.
go. Okay. What can I say, Nicholas? If you're not going to listen to me and do your own thing.
In the microwave for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Dry as well. No idea how.
Couldn't believe it.
Weird.
And then our sides. What is on that broccoli that's making it so good?
So on the broccoli, it's the thing you love. Anchovies, fennel seed again. Mm-hmm. Touch of garlic in there, lemon. And basically, it's sort of like a salsa Verde without the green. Mm. And then you need that to break the lamb, because the lamb's very fatty. Yeah. You need the sharpness there. And then I've sprinkled a little bit of chopped parsley and mint and fresh lemon again.
And is this an Angela recipe?
No, this is all Julius. Our homage to Julius.
And the spuds?
The spuds are Dauphinoise. And he's made it slightly different. There's certain friends who would not agree, but I think they taste delicious. He's put onion in there and garlic.
Yeah.
And then cream and milk, lots of thyme. And then again, just slowly cooked, but, you know, nice caramelised on top.
My Dauphinoise are a bit like your tagine. They come out very, very dry and very, like, boring.
That tastes more like Dauphinoise butter with potatoes.
Yeah.
We do. It is good to add a little bit of butter.
That's why it's yummy.
Can I ask more about the lamb?
Please do.
Yeah, sure.
It's really good lamb.
Yes. Thing, you know, it makes sense. Buy it from someone who's looked after their animals well. Waitrose do great lamb there. You know, if you can buy it from the counter... You might have to pre-order it, but otherwise you can buy. But also I think something like shoulder, you really can't go wrong with because it is that slow and long.
I make my stew with lamb neck.
Oh, nice. Yeah, lovely.
And it's really lovely because of the bones. You get so much flavour. It's so cheap. But I'm sort of weirdly into meat in that I rarely buy it.
Yeah.
And I believe that we should eat less of it, et cetera, et cetera. So when you do have it...
Yeah, have the best you can afford.
And it's only recently we've been sort of accustomed to the idea that we can get whatever we want whenever we want.
Yeah. If you want to try this recipe or any of the recipes that we do on Dish, waitrose.com/dish recipes. Also on there, they suggest a wine pairing. We're going for a red wine with lamb. Ange, what is it?
So Vino Loreo Rioja. Mm-hmm. It's a rich, smooth and elegant. This is a Rioja Reserva, full of juicy red berry flavours, and it's a must with lamb. Do we agree? Do you like red wine?
I love red wine.
Because what I realised, I thought I'm going to love this woman, and I do love this woman, but there's that tiny bit when you said you didn't like a Negroni. I was like, oh, that broke my heart, really.
You don't like a Negroni?
I was like, I love a Negroni.
No, earwax. Earwax. Oh. And also... It's the Stanley thing.
Yeah, I knew it.
Because I don't like posers.
Right.
She says, dressed as a clown.
What were meal times like at your home? Were you like mine and Angie's family of like, everyone had to sit down together, everyone had to have big family meals together?
Yeah, my mum was, maybe a lot of people say this, but she was very interested in food. And very, I still have all her cookbooks, you know, like she had quite a big range of cookbooks and lots of notes that she'd make. And she was everything had to be really hot, I remember.
Mm. Oh yeah, mums and dads love stuff.
Oh,
I'm sort of with, I like
my
hot food.
My mum's still like that.
And they're shoveling it into their gob.
Yeah,
and I'm
boiling
like,
hot. Yeah.
Boiling. I think that's why we all, in fairness, we all have beautiful skin. Mm. And I think it's the steam from the spuds that we'd be getting us. Facial every single. It's like, Dad, are you there? Oh, there. God, I didn't know what happened, you know? And like, I remember being very young and eating curry, and, you know, she was very proud of, you know, we had spag bol, you know, like things.
Fancy food.
She really would. My favourite book was The Galloping Gourmet. She used to follow The Galloping Gourmet a lot. Yeah. The Galloping Gourmet.
Galloping Gourmet.
I'm sure I saw him at the RVT one time, you know.
My mum's was just Delia.
Oh, everyone was
the Delia, you know, the red top.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Do you like to cook?
I go through phases of it.
Okay.
I've been so busy the last couple of years is that for the first time in my life, I haven't enjoyed cooking because of the time aspect, because I would always give it time. Mm. And it's so psychological, like the idea of cooking for other people, it's such a gift to be able to give other people. And I'm still really bad at cooking for other people, not because of the food that I'm giving them, which I'm sure varies in quality, but because of my ability to sort of relax around it.
Right,
are you enjoying it? Yeah. Are you enjoying it? Would you like it more? No, it's fine. It's probably shit. I'm just going to take the whole thing and burn it. Get out. Everyone, get out.
Hey, we've got to talk about Saoirse, because we had Saoirse Monica Jackson come join us a couple... When was it? Last season?
Last season,
I was going to say a couple of weeks ago. It's bloody ages ago, actually, now.
Long time.
She was such a scream, and she told us this really great story of when she found out that she had the role in Derry Girls. And she was working on a building site.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
It was a building site.
Was she?
Like, she was, like, the snagger.
Yeah.
So she'd check on new build houses to make sure, like, the door handle was on. Where were you when you heard about Derry Girls?
I had just finished building a house.
Right. And that's how you and Saoirse met.
And
I was just putting down the last brick. So I knew Lisa McGee and Liz Lewin before. I had worked with them before. We would make each other laugh a lot. They'd be, you know, the sort of London Irish gang, essentially, you know. And I remember her, like, years beforehand going, I've got this idea for the show about a group of schoolgirls, and I think there's a part in there for you. And I keep saying this because I don't think people believe me, but I genuinely thought she meant one of the girls. And I remember even at the time going, it'll be hard to get into that uniform. But... yeah, we could do it.
Give it a go. Give it a go.
When Derry Girls was casting, you see, it took them ages to cast it because they had to get the right combo of kids. So it took a while. So I did my audition and I was so nervous and I did it and they were like, yeah, that was really good. And I went, yeah. Did I get it? Yeah. And they were like, no, well, you know, we'll be in touch. And I went, yeah, cool, whatever, you know. Cool. And then it was that really weird situation where your boss is your friend.
Right.
And they're not trying to mention the elephant in the room.
Right, of course.
And the elephant is you.
Yes.
And so I remember our mutual friend was out having a few drinks and texted me going, come out, I'm having tequila in Old Street with Liz. And then I went, no, I can't go because she'll think that I'm only there to go, cast me.
Please.
But then I was like, but I want to drink tequila in Old Street. Mm. And I was like, oh, jeepers, what do I do? Because also, do I not go and see my friend? Like, yes, so it was that sort of push and pull, which is a very understandable as well. In the end, the lure of tequila brought me there. And I remember just sort of like so concentrating on not mentioning it.
Yeah.
It was a good audition. I know who she is. Who the f*** else can play it? Like,
yeah.
Who are they? Little did I know, they were asking everyone. Literally everyone, because I think, I've heard in the grapevine that the channel thought that Sister Michael was actually an older character, because you would sort of think more stereotypically a very jaded headmistress would be sort of an older nun. But what I understood and what Lisa really wanted was the idea that, like, Sister Michael came out of the womb like this, probably in a wimple, you know, like, and she hasn't changed.
Yeah.
The end of the tequila night, I remember Liz sort of saying, don't worry, we haven't decided. Oh. And just having that, I just remember just sort of almost again going to the loo just to have a cry because of the buildup of emotion around, because I really wanted it. And then when I got it, it felt like home.
Maybe meant to be.
I think so.
Yeah. Did you have nuns at school?
Yeah, I went to a convent.
Did you have nuns at school?
Yeah, no. I did. Sister Santa Spree was our headmistress.
Santa Spree.
Oh.
And then Sister Kathleen used to do RE.
Was it you that had a Sister Madonna?
No, not me. Another one of your Catholic friends.
Yeah, someone I know had a Sister Madonna in like 1985, and it was when Madonna became really famous and really outlandish, and Sister Madonna was like 80 and absolutely furious pop star Madonna, because everyone was, you know,
are you
thought
no,
it was
it's
hilarious that she was called Madonna all of a sudden. Didn't you see Siobhan in a play?
I did.
When was
at
this
at the National about less than a year ago it was now, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes. I was actually doing it when I won the BAFTA.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
And winning a BAFTA and being on at the National at the same time. Oh,
you are a national treasure now.
I nearly dug up the corpses of my parents to sort of go, look! Yeah, I was doing a show. It was Dancing at Lunaset.
beautiful play. Beautiful play, and my favourite part. And because my leg was still gammy, as I had an accident with my leg, and, you know, it's called dancing at Luna, so I was like, when they offered it to me, I was like, it might be swaying from a chair. It might be clicking enthusiastically at Luna, but no, I managed to do a few high kicks or whatever.
It was beautiful.
Like, because I enjoy it so much, I'm always really shocked when other people go.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? I know why I'm doing it, but why are you going? You know, you had a night off. Do you go to the theatre often?
I do quite a bit, actually.
What do you like about it?
I like the live experience as much as anything. I think that's what's... I mean, you know, recently we went to see Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
You know, so I like a good musical. But then I've seen other ones that are really serious. Yeah. You know, so I'm a bit like you at the end of your speech, you know. I think you've got to support things. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, they'll go. Yeah. Like, even though the BBC can screw up on many levels, I'd hate them to go.
Yeah, me too.
And the National and all those things, we need to. But it's not... We were talking about it earlier, that people are going to podcast more live because it's affordable. And that's the worst thing about theatre. It's not affordable for most people. And it needs to be.
I agree.
And we had Hannah on here, didn't she? Waddington. And she was saying the same thing. She goes, you've got to bring people. It's like you. It's her first love.
David Tennant said something really interesting about theatre in that, like, people don't recognise its importance within the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
So you can go, I don't go to the theatre, but I love Netflix or whatever, you know? And you're going, but do you not see? But it's all part of the same ecosystem. Netflix only exists because of that boring Shakespeare you didn't go and see. And there's a symbiotic relationship there. The fact that it's not affordable is something that government needs to deal with because you're talking about valuing the arts.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you place it completely in the hands of commercial forces and free market forces, it's invariably going to become unaffordable. And that's not the point of art. Like, if your thing is we need to cut... things, let's go immediately into schools and cut art subjects. What's going to happen is that you're going to have a show that's one of the most popular shows in the country, which is backed up by the viewing figures, the Great Pottery Throwdown. And we struggle to find people because they have stopped teaching ceramics in schools.
Right, there you go.
A complete demographic is gone. You're getting people who have devoted themselves to ceramics and changed to something else, but you're not getting the raw, full gamut of experience there. And this is an economic system that places arts as trivial and as an added extra if you're
like
lucky.
Secondary, isn't it?
Secondary, exactly, perfectly put. But rather than it being part of the human experience just as much as being able to do arithmetic.
Yeah, of course.
Felt like at school, I was always discouraged from doing art or creative from teachers and parents. Parents, because it's like it's a waste of time, no money, and then probably just not that good at it really for school. But yeah, pottery, I remember that. It's like when I think about good times I had at school, it was always making something. I've no offense to my math teachers, but I've never looked back and been like, oh my god, I loved maths. Whereas I loved art but was talked out of it when you get to like year nine. I wish I'd been encouraged to do those things.
I know
more.
But also the idea that one feeds the other.
That
like, I mean, I was lucky, I loved maths. It just blew my mind and it was so satisfying and it felt like finishing a step. Do you know, like if you had learned a routine or something and you do the Macarena and that fun clap just before you turn? That's what the QED was. You're like, and done! Mic drop!
We have to talk about the Great Pottery Throwdown, which is a staple in our household.
Is it? I'm so glad to
hear. Real staple. Well, you've got it all, haven't you? Bit of creativity, a backstory, a shared experience, emotion. I love
jugs.
It. Jugs.
Crying men. My
Crying
idea
men.
Of a good night out.
It's win, 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 win. It's such a loved show. Do you feel that love? Do you? Do you? And how do you feel it? Do people message you? Do people shout it at you in the street?
I feel it making it.
Oh, really?
I feel it making it. It's it's a very special show to work on. I've no experience to compare it to. And because I have no other presenting experience, I am very lucky in there letting it be led by me from a presentation point of view.
Yeah.
So I feel like the luckiest viewer in the world. That's sort of the place I place myself in. I will kill for my potters. It's a really weird bond I almost immediately get with when I see them. I just want, like, I want to protect these people. I want to really make sure they're okay.
And why do you think that is? Is it because there's a lot of care and patience going into creating something like pottery, isn't there? And you've got to, you know, wait for it to be, you know,
can't
dry out. It can't
be rushed. No, it's one of the, it's the longest show they have to film.
And so I guess they're all caring people, maybe. So you feel
that
when you meet
them. I think there's something untapped about
potters.
Right.
And hopefully we'll continue that. People are on the show despite the fact it's on telly. People right. are on the show because they want to talk to Keith, Rich and Rose.
Right.
People are on the show because they want to have access to the kilns we have. Mm-hmm. They're not there because they have a
book
deal.
They want to be famous yeah. or anything. Yeah,
they're
yeah,
not
yeah.
there. And I think as a result, that pulsates through.
Well, that's why it feels very honest.
That's
it
right. And yeah. authentic.
Yeah. yeah. There's empathy from the audience to the person.
Completely.
Isn't it? That's yeah. what you feel.
Well, and I think it must feel like that. Otherwise, why would you apply?
Yeah, exactly.
They're
yeah.
weirdos. Mm. They're such. Potters are weird.
Lovely
I love
weirdos,
them.
Yeah.
They're such lovely weirdos. Mm. They're very. I was like, oh, they've come down from the mountain. Like, they really don't want to be in front of a camera. Camera, yeah. they want to be there and they're nerds and they keep swapping tools and they keep going over yeah. and we're like, stay to your bench and they're like, yeah, yeah. And they keep going over to have a look at what somebody else is doing and they're having chats about something else and it's...
I just love when someone's really into something. Like, I love
so,
a nerd. Like, when someone's obsessed with something, I think it's great.
I love a nerd.
Have you done pottery?
Years ago, but not very good at it. Not very good.
I did a
know.
Class last week.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
You did it. What's
Would
face?
You come on our Christmas special?
Wait to see it. Wait to see. I made a mug.
Where is it? Did is you it,
for your
it?
First? Oh, it's
in... I used a template.
I don't care.
So I cut it out and then mold it, and then you had to like mush it. I don't know if that's a technical term.
Yes, mush
it together, and then you'd like you know wet your finger and like smush uh-huh. it in, uh-huh. smush the bottom in, stick the hand along, uh-huh. do all that. So, yeah, we'll see. It's drying out.
Oh, drying out at the moment.
I love that Brad Pitt loves the Great Pottery Throwdown.
I know,
Throwdown.
I know.
How do we know Brad Pitt loves it? Did he, how do we know
mate. He's your mate, isn't he, Siobhan?
He's my stalker, it's right.
Obsessed
it's embarrassing.
Brad.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah,
Brad
loving it.
There was some red carpet event or some like press junket he did or whatever, and he was like, "Oh yeah, the Great Pottery Throwdown." I really like. It's just like he's in the room, isn't it?
Yeah.
He really liked it. We were like,
What?
Why? Imagine Brad Pitt like sitting down watching the Great Pottery Throwdown, and we're like, Staffordshire flat packs. He's like, yeah, I love that.
Love that. Okay, we come to the end of the show. Question for your chance to win a Waitrose goodie bag. It's essentially the big shop.
The big shop.
Done for you. Siobhan, here is your question. You did a science degree whilst you were waiting to reveal yourself to the world as a thespian. The Dish team would like their tiny mind blown. Can you tell us anything scientific and factual, a theory perhaps, from your days in a white coat?
One thing that I can tell you, which might be of use and of comfort to you both, is that the shape of the ear and the way we receive sound waves means that when we hear ourselves on a podcast, we go, what the f*** is that? Who the hell is speaking? That's not me.
That's not
what I sound like at all. I don't sound like that. I do not sound like a 13-year-old boy with a cold. I genuinely don't. The shape of the ear doesn't allow us to be able to hear ourselves back.
Wow.
So when we talk, we hear ourselves in one way. Uh-huh. Mm. When we hear ourselves being played back, it's how we sound to other people. But we will never have heard that before. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because that's why I hate the sound of my voice.
Well, everyone says
everyone
that.
Everyone hates the sound of their voice for that reason. That's what I mean. So the way you think you sound, nobody else hears that.
Wow. Okay, well, that goes into why I can't stand listening to myself on this podcast. And Siobhan,
I think that
great
was
fact.
Yeah, thank you. Mm.
The bag is yours. Siobhan McSweeney, thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you so much.
You've been
I've had
amazing.
Such a lovely time.
It's been
such a lovely
fun.
Time.
That
thank
you. Been brilliant. We
thank
love you.
You. Thank you again.
Siobhan, everybody. Yay! Joining us next week on Dish, we have Jordan North and William Hanson. Do you like serving from the table? You know, like family style?
Yes, well, you've got a lovely wine table, so it works.
When he comes to my house, it's very much, I just put it all on table. Knife and forks in a pot in the middle, it's like, help
it's
yourself.
It's like going to Wetherspoons, basically.
Details of all the delicious meals I've cooked on Dish can be found at waitrose.com/dishrecipes. All the links are in our show notes.
If you love Dish, then please leave us a review, please. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, the boss says it's very important.
Dish is an SE Creative Studio production.
Waitrose. Food to feel good about.